Hey guys, welcome back to another CWF Road Diaries. This week, part two of my interview with Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell. Bruce and I get into what the future holds for CWF and how they can maintain the edge that they have right now and the different ways in which they can continue to grow, not only as a company with wrestlers, but also online. Don't forget, the first annual CWF FanCon debuts Friday night, October 13th at 6 p.m. We are going to have a dinner, and I'm excited to announce that catering the dinner will be Little Italy. They are a local Italian restaurant in Burlington, North Carolina. This goes on October 13th and 14th, but the dinner is 6 p.m. Friday, October 13th. It's kind of a meet and greet, and it's the only thing all weekend up until the show that you absolutely have to pay for if you're going to participate. We're looking at around $10 to $12. We'll know more in the next week. So please come out. It's at the CWF Mid-Atlantic Sportatorium in Gibsonville, North Carolina. We also can announce a new Twitter handle specifically for this. Instead of contacting myself or Jeremy Bryant, you can just look us up on Twitter at FanConCWF or email us. And the email for that is cwf.fancon@gmail.com. All right, let's get to Bruce because we've been making him wait long enough. I'll talk to you guys after the show.
Brad puts together things where there's a story between it. And then there are things that happen on the show. It's not perfect, I mean, but my favorite times in wrestling, whether they were All Japan in the 90s or, you know, Kobashi and Misawa, and whether it was Midnight Express and Rock and Roll Express, you know, whether it was Flair and Steamboat and all, those things weren't perfect either. There was always things that, like, you know, they screwed up or they didn't think it through. But there's this sense of there's something special going on. And particularly Trevor Lee. It's like Trevor Lee, his last match with Michael Elgin on the Vintage Pro Wrestling show at that same arena with a lot of commonalities. It's like all of a sudden you've got this great wrestler who's great for his time and who can talk and who can speak, and you go and see these like epic matches, but they're epic in different ways against this wide variety of very good top independent stars who want to be a part of it. And you're like, this is something special in the way that Johnny Valentine and Wahoo McDaniel were special 40 years ago, the way that Flair and Steamboat and Dory Funk and Jack Briscoe, the only thing that's missing is the money. But and Steve Austin and Rock, whatever those rivalries are, there's something now where there's something special going on, and they're taking, and they're getting, Michael Elgin, I like to use that comparison because he wrestled on the Dominion show for New Japan and Cody Rhodes in a very important match that's setting up, you know, that's helping to set up New Japan coming to the United States, coming to California, and setting up Cody Rhodes. And I thought Cody Rhodes did well enough that I understand why he's headlining their first New Japan shows. But if I took the match with the Dominion show and compared it to the match with Trevor Lee, Michael Elgin's match with Cody Rhodes, and compared it to Michael Elgin's match with Trevor Lee, in this, you know, in the Mid-Atlantic Sportatorium, which is this strip mall, this one little chunk of this place, it was a better match. These guys are coming in and not taking it like it's an indie show with this price, I'm going to do something special.
They're embracing their art.
And I'm not an art guy. I mean, you've heard me talk. It's like, I believe that wrestlers con themselves and they're not looking at their art the right way if they're going, well, there aren't that many fans here and they weren't really into my job, into this show, and my match didn't fit, but I did this and this and this. And so my art, my picture I painted was great. Well, you've got to paint it for the fans that are there. And you've got to paint it where if you're getting more and more interest, your art drives the business. They're not separate things. It's not sports, big wall entertainment. And it's not art, big wall money, like it can be in music, like it can be in movies, like it can be in other places. In wrestling, in pro wrestling, there's not a separation.
So what I hear is that the art is there, and it's a question not only in the macro with independent wrestling, but in the micro here,
yeah,
in the Greensboro area, specifically Gibsonville,
yeah,
CWF Sportatorium. The art is there. The question is, will the commerce equal out so that they can ply the art and expand the company? Would that be a fair
distinction? Well, yeah. I mean, you want people that do good work, that create good art, to get compensated for it in fair ways, in ways that are worth it to them. And I would say that, like, the technology, and it's just started. I mean, you know, they've always, like, embraced technology. Like I said, they had a television show on cable, but I don't know that it helped them a ton after years of having it. But now they've got a YouTube outlet where if I go. And we talked about this too. The world is so changed in the with modern wrestling. It's like, it's not hard to find everything pretty quickly. You may have to pay $5 or something, but with them, it's like they have their YouTube channel. They produce a show where Cecil Miller and Stutz are calling it, and they give you the context, and you do features. They give you that context, and they're starting to get some buzz. They're starting to get some more information, and there are people. You're not the only one. There are people that are starting to travel. Because this is starting to get some sort of credibility that they've earned. And I always say this to Brad, like, every once in a while I get that, oh, thank you for, like, talking about us. Like, no, I just talk about what I see. You've earned it. They're doing better in Chapel Hill because of, and Snooty Fox is a big part of that. Like, also not looking at the five-star wrestler, Trevor Lee has a personality too. Looking at the guy that, like, has a personality that can draw people in, and then grooming him to be a better in-ring worker so he can take advantage of it.
Are they starting on a formula via the YouTube show, which is free, and a lot of their archives are free, and they've got a massive archive. And they're also, they've bridged the gap between the art and stories drawing more people in, just on a low level. What do you see for the next few years, especially if, say, let's say they lose Trevor and Andrew Everett, which is always a possibility given that those guys...
Andrew has, like, moved to Florida, so right. Yeah.
What's your, as an analyst of over 30, 40 years of this business, what do you see as the prognosis going forward?
Grassroots business that are not major league, I think are all, and I think now also with the way the economy is and the way things are, the way the gross national product is moving, a big chunk of it is moving to a smaller amount of people, I think it's like you hustle. And I think with them, another part that we hadn't talked about, but I think being able to say, this promotion moved.
No Way Jose.
And the Dawson, you know, and part of the Dawsons came out of there, and everything that they did with TNA when the Hardys were doing what they were doing with Broken Matt Hardy, the Hardys looked at CWF and went, this is credible. We can put this on our special that we're doing for TNA and use so many people on that. So that kind of thing is a step. You know, if you want to get trained and you want to get trained in a credible way, well, we give you a place to train, then we give you a place to work, and then we give you a booker that will see the best in you and also the worst in you, and we'll work that out. And you look at Kane Justice, you look at Daddy and all that. It's like these young guys that they're grooming that you can see get better and that are getting more dates. And the guys in the young and the Ugly Ducklings, Lance Lude, who worked a ton in CWF, you know, they're starting to get more. So, like, you get some more traction that way, and you make that money training people. Like Trevor, you know, Trevor and Eric Royal train folks with that, so you get more with that thing. So every little way that you can make money, can contribute to your art, but you also got to, like, do a good job. You got to do a good job in all these different aspects, and you got to hustle. And then the fact that all these independent promotions, whether they're doing a good job, doing a mediocre job, or not so good, they're all looking at each other and trading talent back and forth and working with each other. And, you know, Brad Stutz works in these different, you know, he said, well, I'm not a hustler. It's like, God, he hustles every weekend. He's at some promotion doing promo for him or helping with something, this or that or the other thing. It's like, well, he's making connections. He's learning something about what works and what doesn't work. And then just looking at, okay, we're in Fayetteville. Fayetteville has a lot of soldiers. So what are we going to do here? Like, what are we going to do in Chapel Hill? We've got, you know, a place that didn't have wrestling, but it's huge college town. We've got this guy who's over in this town who's got the right look. How can we change our show to accommodate that, to, like, base around that?
And just smart promoting for local.
Smart promoting local, you know, micro and macro. It's like all that stuff. And then who knows, but, like, they're self-sustaining. The Hardys came in to film something for TNA. Tommy Dreamer was in with Modern Vintage Wrestling. They don't bring in people just to have a name that costs too much for their show. It's like, where does it fit in? And they treat their local guys like they're stars. Trevor Lee is on this show because he grew up here, you know, because he like trained there and his father was part of Omega Wrestling with the Hardys. And then he went to TNA and he's doing what he's doing with TNA, but this is his base. You got to try to make money. And, you know, there are promotions around here with, you know, the promotion still, too many people on the show, too many people, well, I've heard of them because they're on TNA, but because you've been on television, are you drawing in fans or not? Or does it make a difference? And then just overbooking and confusing people. It's like, you know, think about that person in the stand who's not me, who's not you, but who wants to go to the wrestling show because they like wrestling and they want to see something that makes sense that draws them to come back the next time. And, you know, you don't have to be like a student of wrestling, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week internet watching everything there is. It's just, hey, I like to watch a fight, and here's where I'll see a fight, and I'm satisfied with the show. I'll come back, and I'll bring my friends.
What's it like seeing a show at this CWF Sportatorium, which is getting a bunch of buzz, and you can't use the example of John Filipowicz driving 8 hours there because he's sitting right here in front of you, and we already got it out of the way?
Yeah.
So tell me what it's like from a guy who goes
a lot more than I do. Well, there's people from Charlotte come that are an hour and a half of it, and there's the regulars from around. And there's some people I've seen at these shows forever, and there's part of the wrestling community that goes back 30 years that I know. It's really cool for me, and that I try to tell it straight. If something's wrong, I'll tell it as directly as I can. Well, it's really been cool for me to see something that's right and tell it straight up too. It's not enough to go, this sucks, blah, 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 blah. And because sometimes you get in that habit of going, this sucks, and you miss something that's good. Because the idea, to me, the part of the job is staying ahead of things and staying ahead of what's working. And, you know, Roman Reigns, is Roman Reigns working or not? It's like, and there's a lot of people, he sucks, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? There are signs that it works, and sometimes things change and evolve, and wrestling's always changing. But it's so cool to see, like, I liked Brad back 20 years ago when he was this teenage kid and those guys. It's like, I understand that. And so to see someone learn something, and not from me, he learned it from just being a student of the business and really having this, but also having his eye on the ball, to see him succeed, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's also, you know, you followed people and you've seen them because in your documentary, Barbed Wire City, you've seen them fall as hard as there is to fall. You've seen them also succeed, die. And you've also seen them succeed at the top levels too. And see them build on something. Yeah. And for me, it's even more about whether you succeed or not. It's like, survive where you're on the other end and there's some happiness for you and there's something where you're not like, I screwed my body up and I don't have any money and no one remembers me anymore and that sad story, I had some fleeting fame. It's like, no, that you had a great time, that you made money, that you got paid for your hard work, and that you helped build the rest of your life. And that's, so anyway, when I see this, I hope for these guys to succeed and go further. And I think there's that cool part of as a wrestling fan and as a wrestling observer and a student of, I saw that guy early on.
As usual with us, we have meandered. Bruce Mitchell. No, it's me too.
Yeah.
Bruce Mitchell, the man who introduced me to Hush Puppies and then sat for far too long in an interview, not 5 minutes from here while I smoked cigarettes and asked him way too many questions. Thank you, my friend.
Yes, sir.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show for the week. As always, Poddington Bear provides the soundtrack to this very podcast. And by provides, I mean they are nice enough to put it up on freemusicarchive.org. But Poddington Bear has a website. It's poddingtonbear.com. There's a lot of diverse music on that website. Please go support Poddington Bear because he is an awesome guy. CWF Mid-Atlantic. You got to follow CWF Mid-Atlantic. Go to a show. Follow them by going to @CWF Mid-Atlantic on Twitter. You can do the same on Facebook. Just search CWF Mid-Atlantic. Join the group that they have. Or just go to a show because, you know, we have this cool fan con coming up. FanCon happens October 13th and 14th. That's a Friday evening and then all day Saturday, and it all leads to the CWF Rumble, which is one of their big four shows every year. So come out, hang out with us. The only thing you got to pay for is the catered dinner, 6 p.m. Friday, October 13th at the CWF Sportatorium. That's catered by Little Italy, as we said earlier. Really cool restaurant in Burlington, North Carolina. They're going to be catering for us in Gibsonville, North Carolina, just a stone's throw away at the CWF Sportatorium before the Q&A for Brad Stutz, who you heard on this very program, and a person I'm going to have on next week, and that is the head of CWF's production, Grant Sawyer, and he's got a friend in the room with him that you'll have to wait till next week. But some of you really like this kid and think he has an amazing amount of potential. And he's a pal of mine, too, so he'll be there. Let's see, what else do we got? Oh, the official sponsor of the CW FanCon is pwponderings.com. We're going to give a shout-out to them. But also, the Place to Be Nation is going to be represented at the FanCon as well. My buddy Pete from This Week in Wrestling will be there. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like Timothy's going to make it in. But Pete will be there, and don't be surprised if you hear me on This Week in Wrestling sometime soon. But we shall see. Also, the unofficial official CWF Worldwide After Show is going to be doing some podcasts from there as well. Follow me on Twitter at John Filipavich. That's at JohnPhilipavage. Also, give Jeremy Bryan a follow. He's doing a ton of work this last month for the FanCon, as I just went from being able to do a lot of stuff to really jammed up. Jeremy Bryant is at jbryant025, that's the number 0 and then 25, at jbryant025. All right, I will see you next week with Grant Sawyer and a special guest.